Father, oh, we thank you for Jesus, how he came to earth, and he spoke and was the Word of God. Our Bible is full of God's Word, and we thank you for giving us Jesus and the Bible. Yes and amen. Well, you look around us and we see the conditions of the world and say, oh my, we are getting closer and closer to what the Bible describes as the end of the age. These are, in a sense, the last days, and we are just amazed and wonderfully glad to live in the last days where we see all that is coming about. Amazing and wonderful, wondrous things. Well, some of it is not quite the joy that we expect, but it is a wonder to see, and we see things going in the direction of amazing. Wow. Yes, and there have been years that we have seen things go by. If you look back 5 and 10 years, we have seen things happen that have just been amazing, except we know that they are pointing a direction to the end of the age. So thank you for that, Lord. We wonder at Scripture, especially Matthew 24 for me, and I see the description of what will happen. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes and famine, and we say, wow, it won't happen to me. No, well, it could, because even the most powerful kingdoms or empires in the past have been affected by all sorts of things, by this and by that, and the kingdoms of the past, amazing empires, have been destroyed by one thing or another. And so we know that it can happen here to us. It can happen. It's not likely, because we are such a wonderful and powerful and godly nation. Sort of. Well, we have our problems. And they could come back and affect us in a pretty big way. So let's get a little insurance together with what we need. Insurance has to do with providing us through the tough times, whether it's hunger or a financial downturn or whatever it is. Let's get a little bit prepared. Have your ideas ready for the just-in-case, general ideas. And let's do our own research to try to figure out what it is that we can do to preserve and protect the life of ourselves, our family, and others. Yes, we see God has a plan, and always remember, God's plan is coming together. Now, in our world, we might think that things are falling apart in our world, in our in the whole world or a little world around us. And in a sense, things are falling apart, but God's plan is falling together. God's plan is coming together. Now, we don't see the hard times as good, but the hard times around us can cause us to redefine our life and understand the importance of God Jesus. And we say, yes, Lord, because we can see the good things that are taking place because of the hard times. So that's something we want to remember as we get affected by things that we might not want to see happen to us. And we think, why, Lord? Why this trouble? But the troubles can bring us closer to God, even though they are difficult. So when you see the things of difficulty going on, remember that there are good things to get out of it. And this is our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And one way or another, we can see the goodness of them. The hard times that bring people to call on God, and even the events of Revelation, over some other books too, that describe some really difficult times, they are also going to move people to come to God, either closer to God or further from God. And that's something that we can be aware of to help us get a perspective on what is really going on. Yes, each person has their own struggles and difficulties. And we have to be aware of how things are in the world. We know that there are forces that are actually against us, that want to hurt us. And we see that in technology. It's not so hard to see. We see that hard times, there are hard times, and there are things that we just don't expect. They happen all over history. Now there are people who see things like the UFOs as being, what do you call it? It is something that will bring us to God, because there are going to be difficulties. And another thing right along with the unexplained is Project Bluebeam, a project by our very own government that has worked on how to manipulate everything. Well, in the Iraq War, there was a question of why did so many Iraqis just drop their weapons and surrender to the American forces? And it's not that this has been officially acknowledged, but there are people who will say it is because Project Bluebeam had a message that spoke into their brains, and it is a frequency that vibrates so that their inner ear can hear it, and it goes to their brain, and they think that they are hearing something which could be mistaken for the voice of God. And while we don't know, we do know that this has been a direction of the research that has gone on. There has also been, under Project Bluebeam, a way to project images into the sky. And the images can be of Mohammed coming to the earth, or armies coming to the earth, or Jesus coming to the earth. And we have not seen those images, but we have seen the images of dolphins jumping out of the water where the water was filling up a gymnasium or a spot of desert land. And people have seen the whatever it was, dolphins, whales, jumping out of the water and splashing. Now, of course, we know this can't be in a gymnasium or in a desert setting, but people see it, and they even touch these dolphins that have jumped up and have gone out of the water and onto the sand. Of course, it's an image. It is a false image. But Project Bluebeam has shown that this can be done and is being done. It's a matter of us having to understand that there are people that want this to happen, and there are people who have a true belief in a godly spiritual image coming to earth. And we have a hard time understanding how there can be such a deception. But we know out of the Bible, so many, many dozens of times, it says, be not deceived. And when we see something with our eyes, we want to believe it. But we are warned over and over to not be deceived, because there are things going on in this world which are intended to deceive us, to make us believe a lie. We get to struggle with what it is and how to deal with it. It's not that there's just one answer, because we have to recognize that it can't be. There cannot be a dolphin or an animal jumping out of the water in a gymnasium, a place that we know to be a gymnasium, a place that we know to be desert. And yet, we see the water, and we see the animals, and we have to be careful that we live in a day of deception. So how do you discover the truth in a time of deception? To me, that speaks of having a relation with Jesus Christ so that you can speak and he can speak to you. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, it has happened before. It has happened throughout history. And we know that there are Christian people who have, some of them, been martyred to death, and some of them have a testimony. And I think of people who have, like Brother Andrew or Dimitri Dudeman or Corrie Ten Boom. Well, not so much her, but there have been other people who have said they have seen a vision, and that we have to recognize that a vision can have two sources: the sources of God and the sources that are not of God. And these people were helped by visions that were of God. And this is what we want to be able to rely on, to have that relation with Jesus Christ where we can say, Jesus, is this real? And you have an answer. And I do believe that this is something that we all can develop when we pay attention to hearing the voice of God. When we speak and pray, you can say pray, but it is having that communication that is two ways. And you can learn about, one, what is possible from Scripture, what the Bible tells you about, and two, what you know to be biblical, because God does not change from the biblical experience. And that's something that we all need to have, that personal relation with Jesus Christ, so that we are not deceived. Be not deceived. Oh, what a big thing that is. And we see things going on all over the world. We have the images of people who align themselves with evil. We have things of an antichrist spirit, where we pray against it and it goes away. Well, we know that from the experience of the testimonial experience of other people. And that is how our faith in Jesus Christ comes about. I know you want an example of that. I'll have to think of the names, but there are examples, and I'm not doing. Let me see. Anyway, there are things that we can work to have, and that is what we want to do. Our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. As troubles come into our life, as troubles come into this world, we want to survive through the troubles and do God's will through it. And that means yielding to God, not having our own will, but allowing God's will to be done in us and through us. That's a part of the hope that we have when we say, yes, Lord. It is a matter of practice so that we can hear the voice of God speaking to us and not a voice speaking to what we believe our ears are hearing in our head. See, that's the thing. That's why I spoke of what went on in Iraq with the U.S. invasion there. And by the way, that is called, the military calls that the voice of God, where you get an echoing in your head that you hear this powerful, powerful voice. That's what they call it. So what are we going to do? We have to listen to that still, quiet voice that is described in the Bible. And that is what we want to hear, is the voice of God. Now, this may or may not apply to you, but I know that I have asked God, Lord, is that you? And I do get an answer in my brain. And yes, it takes a little practice, but that's the only thing I can think of to have something else to say about this. There are things going on in the world, and we can do the best we understand to know that we are living according to the love of God in the life that we have here on earth. We are going to be working things together. And as I said, things are coming together. It is the godly plan. God's plan is coming together as the world falls apart. My view. Or you can see if you can find Bible support about that. But we do want to remember that our place here on earth is to do God's will. And that includes staying alive through the coming difficulties and troubles so that we can preach the Word of God to people who need to hear it. And that's a part of the belief that we have, to the belief to be faithful to God. And do the will of the Bible as we go through life. It's a part of how we live. We identify with God. We identify ourselves as following Jesus. And then we go on and develop our ideas. That's what happens as we see the troubled times around us. And that includes... Like I said, Matthew 24, wars, rumors of war, famine, and earthquakes, and all sorts of difficulties. So let's learn to have that conversation so that we can hear Jesus and not be deceived. Okay, and it has to line up with the Bible. It's all a part of God's love. So let's remember to look at God's word and know it. That's, I think, the best thing that we can do. There are things going on in the world, and we can see the troubles country to country. We see what happens when the countries don't follow the... it's really in the Bible, too. Just like there's a part in... Where is that? Owe no man nothing, and don't borrow money. Well, our country has borrowed trillions of dollars. From who? Yes, that's a good question. And I don't mean there is just one answer, because you talk to one person and they say we borrowed it from ourselves. There's other people who say we borrowed it from the bankers. We printed money. By what authority? Is that borrowing? Well, there's a good question. But we do have countries that have gotten into debt and can't pay it back and have a whole country collapse. I'm thinking of Germany under the 1920s and the Weimar inflation, where suddenly things went up not 10 times, not 50 times, but 100 or 1,000%. And there are countries right now that have 100 or 1,000% inflation, even in 1 year. I'm thinking of Argentina right now. They are having that kind of inflation, and we're not sure what it'll end up being. But to have prices double in 1 year, yes, we're having these things go on, and it's having a big effect in other countries. I don't just mean Argentina, but look at the price increases that are happening in America, in Great Britain, in other countries of the world. That's how things are going. Yeah, even in China, even in Europe, all over. There's a question of how are we going to deal with that kind of inflation? How are we going to deal with the natural disasters that come about from earthquakes? And we are really overdue for earthquakes in the United States of America. There are things going on. Oh, there's a question about the bird flu coming around also. And now it's not just bird flu, because we see from the research that there have been research going on for various diseases, including Marburg and Ebola, that causes death by bleeding. The blood vessels can no longer hold blood, and they leak through every body part that you have, as in to say ears, nose, eyes, mouth, everything. Blood comes out, and it's a relatively quick thing. But the thing is there are experiments going on with Marburg and Ebola, and before that with SARS, before that with COVID. These are things that are currently going on, and we are warned about epidemics. We are warned against bird flu, and we know that these things can affect us. They can affect everybody. So a part of what we do is we know how we can be the healthiest we can be, and then we live our life just as we would have before, because we don't know if we have tomorrow guaranteed. We don't know if we're going to live a life to 100 or to 25 even, or to any age. We don't know. And so we try to be godly as we live, showing love as we go through life. And there's plenty of people who can see the difficulties coming. Well, yes, I see them too. I see the likelihood of things happening. And I want to remind you that what we're doing is we are focusing on all the goodness of God, how God loves us and loves our neighbors too. We are to love God and love our neighbors. And a part of that is just plain life. We want to go through life and have love, whether people love us or we love other people. It's a part of what we do. And then we deal with the difficulties in front of us, whether it is, COVID or Ebola or whatever it is. That's a part of what we are doing. And difficulties have always happened in life. Death has always happened. From ancient times to present day. And it's a part of how are we going to live life with the joy of God and show that love, yes, to our family, to our friends, the people around us, even our neighbors, and even the people that we don't like. Let's remember to show a compassion, or call it a love, godly love, to the people that we don't like. And there's things going on all around the world which are complications on our life. They are happening in every continent of the world, and we give thanks for the blessings that we do have. There are things going on in the spiritual life, and to be aware of these things is always good for us to know what might be coming and what we can do to make ourselves do well through the trouble and survive and preach the good word of Jesus Christ and the gospel. There is so much which gets our attention in the world, and we can recognize that what we are dealing with is the spiritual parts of our existence and the physical parts of our existence in this life. And we have struggles that are so obvious to us right in front of us, and they deal with the regular things of life, the things that we need to survive, love from God and from people, and the supplies that we need to stay alive. It is simply what we go through in life, but there is the spiritual aspect. So recognizing this, we can have a sense of what to look out for in our physical life, physical existence, and all this. So when we see the attack on us, we ought not be surprised. I know that with the COVID situation, the COVID-19, there were genes that were recombined so that they would attach more readily to the human being or the human lung cells. And that's a part of what Wuhan was investigating. And the National Institute of Health had a hand in that. They were doing that kind of research, a gain of function research. And these are all things to recognize. There are different forces in life, forces of good and forces of evil. And sometimes they get mixed up, and there's some good and some evil. So that's what we have to also remember to be prepared to deal with. The theories that are going on and the practice of the reality of science and the reality of the theories. Examples, sure, of the Wuhan lab, yes, of what scientific research is doing. Yes, in the United States, yes, in China, yes, even the Swiss were doing research on COVID-19. It's just things in our life. And now they are continuing their research into SARS and COVID, and even Marburg and Ebola. That is kind of the next thing that's going on, and how to combine that with the bird flu. These are the things that are being researched today all over the world and continuing in China. Who is doing it is a question that we can all look into, and we can be prepared to be lied to. And how can I not think of that Bible telling us that we don't want to be, well, lied to is the basics of it. That means we have to not be deceived as best we know how, and then search for what the truth is. We have all sorts of things coming at us. I know one of my favorite topics is the fluoride that gets put into our water system. And it's not even the true sense of natural fluoride. It is a byproduct of aluminum refining. And it's going to affect us at some point. One of my favorite things is looking back in history and how fluoride was put into the water at internment camps or POW camps. Why? Because it made the prisoners docile, and it reduced their IQs as well. I mean, just a couple of points, but it was a reduction. So we've got all these things that are really attacking us, and we get to figure out how are we going to deal with it. There's the food additives that we have questions about. United States allows some, and Europe says, oh no, we would never allow these things. What? Potassium bromide is an example. Titanium dioxide is an example. That's in toothpaste, for instance, and some food. There's bromated vegetable oil, propyl paraffin, and all these things are additives to United States food that many countries in Europe will not allow. It's an example of what we deal with. And can we be pure? Maybe we can, maybe we can't. Are we willing to be a farmer? Yeah, I don't think so. There's not too many people who would have the life of a farmer, even if they could get pure and wholesome food. Just, it's a lot of work. But someday we might have to do it. We have all these things to look at, and there's the drugs that also are brought into our country. Oh, yes, the 100,000 opiate deaths in the United States this year is expected, last year, the year before. All these things are a problem. The fentanyl has been brought into this country illegally, and it gets added to drugs that are illegal. It's a big problem. And certainly, there are there's problems and deaths all over our country. We have the things going on in that system, call it regarding drugs or illegal drugs or something. There's the problem also with our normal systems, like of banking. You know, there's the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC. The banks are a part of it, and they pay money into the corporation so that your bank accounts are insured up to $250,000. But that fund has, well, it has 2 cents of insurance money to pay out for every dollar that is in the total banking of the United States. So it's woefully under, capitalized, and we can only guess to see what would happen if there ever was a need for the FDIC insurance to be paid out. I suppose the federal government or the Treasury Department would find a way to pay. The Federal Reserve might help, but the Federal Reserve is not federal. It's a private banking organization. So we've got all these things going on, and we are trying to figure out really what it means. And the thing is we have to watch out for ourselves. We have to be sure that we have assets to sustain our own life and our family. And it's I don't know that there is one answer. I know there's lots of problems, and there's only so much we can do. But there again, I think of let's do the basics for what we need. What do we need? We all need to be able to breathe, so have an air mask. We need water, so have a water filter. We all need food, so have food. Yes, we can always get the really good expensive food, but most of us can't afford that. So I always suggest to get rice, beans, and legumes, and have that in your supplies. Add something to it, like diatomaceous earth or nitrogen gas or something, so that if the bugs hatch out of the grains, they will not live. And that makes it a food that will last for decades. But you do have to do a little treatment of it and make sure that you have what you expect. There's other foods that are just normal and you want them on hand, which would be sugar, salt, and oil. Oil doesn't last forever either, but you certainly need oil. I like olive oil. And so have some of these things on hand. There again, it is for the just in case. Just in case. We have things going on that could really harm us, yes, with other nations, but there's also the EMP that could happen. That could be from another nation, too, with nuclear war. Or it could be from the sun under a coronal mass ejection. These things have happened in the past, and they can happen again, especially if there is a conflict, a war. And we seem to have the war things shaping up. We have Russia angry at us for our support of Ukraine. We have China angry at us for our support of Taiwan. And there's a lot of possibilities of what could happen. And a little protection is what we hope to do. Yes, for ourselves, we do that personally. And we have to remember that there is no reserve of food for any American. The Red Cross does not have food. The federal government does not have food to distribute. The people who distribute the food have to buy it first before they distribute it, whether it's government or Red Cross or anybody. So you would be best off to have some of these things yourself. And you decide what it is. You can buy MREs. You can buy dehydrated food. There are lots of options. And if you are hungry, you will find that a lot more things taste good than when you are well fed. I know that, well, yes, I know what it's like to be hungry. And when they say that you can go 3 days without water or 3 weeks without food, there are people who say that. Usually they're people who have been in the military, and usually their numbers are correct, but they don't tell you about how much your body deteriorates without water and without food. And you can live after that amount of time, but you are diminished. So you want to have water every day. You want to have food every day. And if you go a couple of days without something, well, you're weakened. Your body needs to recover. So this is a problem that they don't really address when they say you can still live without whatever it is. We want water, food, and warmth. And you can do something about every one of those categories. Are you going to prepare for what the Bible warns against? Epidemics? Earthquakes? Famine? Well, they are all kind of tied up in the need for water, food, and warmth. And there is always something you can do. A lot of people think we need coffee. Oh, well, yeah, kind of. Are you addicted to coffee? Are you addicted to sugar or chocolate or whatever it is? Well, a lot of people don't think they're addicted. And you're probably not addicted, but there are people who get a headache if they don't have coffee, for instance. And you never know if you're addicted until you decide to quit. If you decide to quit whatever it is, then you really find out how big your cravings are, whether it's for alcohol or cigarettes or anything, even coffee. When you decide to quit, then you find out how great your need is for something that you always assumed was normal. But coffee is a flavor. It's a pretty good flavor. I like it too. So what can you do? I suggest dehydrated coffee and dehydrated, it's not dehydrated, it's powdered. Powdered cocoa and chocolate and such as that. It gives you a little bit that you can add to whatever it is. you're cooking or are making, and that way you get some of that flavor. It's nice. So have some dehydrated coffee, you know, instant coffee. It lasts a long time. Coffee beans don't last forever. They can last a year or longer or shorter. There's always the conditions under which things are kept. And you don't have a real answer for how long any of it lasts. Oh, I've seen those commercials that say, you can make your meat last forever if you do this or that. Well, it does not last forever. And maybe that's the advantage of being a farmer, is you get to actually have fresh food or having a field that you grow with whatever it is. Things do not last forever, no matter what it is. Your hot cocoa powder, your coffee powder, none of it lasts forever. Your beef jerky, it gets powdery. It gets it changes its consistency, and so do most foods. So it's something that you want to get food cycled and recycled, and well, it takes a little bit of discovery process to make that work. Just like it takes a while to have your garden work. If you think you're going to garden to get the food you need, well, it can work, but it can also fail. I know I've had gardening that looked really good, and then it failed. I've had gardening work good or just completely die. It takes a while to be a farmer, so that's something you can really start anytime. And get your understanding ready so that you can see what it takes to nourish a garden, tend to a garden, and have the vegetables or whatever it is last from one season to the next. I think that's a reasonable goal. One season to the next, maybe five. For instance, if you were going to can the food or dry the food, there's limitations on all of it, but there are also some really good dehydrated food that you can buy, and this is worthwhile. There's all sorts of basics, like potatoes and carrots that are dehydrated. That's the basics. You can get the more unusual things, like powdered cheese. And these things are just good for both consistency and flavor. My point is there's something you can do to try to stay a little bit normal in how you eat. And all those things will be very much appreciated. There still are people who talk about how the difficult times are coming. And just now I'm thinking of David Wilkerson. He talked about the difficulties coming. Now he's passed away now, but he was very popular for a while with his New York church. He also had that book, The Cross and the Switchblade. He was a popular pastor and talked about what would be coming to the United States. He talked about the bank failures. And he talked about trouble starting in Germany. Well, he talked about the churches becoming user-friendly. He also said, use this term, churches of accommodation, where they allow you to come into church and would preach things, messages that would make the sinner think they were saved. Now, this is a big question, isn't it? I don't mean I know the answer. I mean you had better read it right out of the Bible to see what it is that you're examining. Because there's lots of preachers who are preaching a really good message, for one reason or another. And the thing is you want the preachers to preach true and correct messages. And for that, you have to know what's in the Bible yourself. So I urge you to read that Bible thoroughly and remember it. A part of what that David Wilkerson said was that there would be angels of light. They appear to be ministers of light, and therefore they would be accepted by the world, but they would be wolves in sheep's clothing. I think the big thing you can do is, again, read that Bible yourself and have a grasp of what the Bible is telling you, the Word of God and Jesus, and then you can determine what the true gospel is according to what the Bible says. But that means you're going to have to study the Bible to get a good understanding, and I hope you do. If you belong to a church, good. I think there's a lot of churches that have a message that is not correct. And that's one of the things that David Wilkerson said also, that there would be huge, huge churches, and that you would need to examine them and the message that they were preaching. And he suggested that the people would pray and fast to get a word from the Holy Spirit. Well, it's all something for all of us to look at and consider for our own self and salvation. Because one way or another, it is us individually that has a response to the gospel of Jesus Christ and what we do with that. So it might be comfortable to hear a gospel, or it might be uncomfortable to hear the gospel. And I can't tell you what it'll be. That's between you and God. But you do want to, I think you want to listen to what the gospel says, listen to what God says, and then conform to it. It's for sure that God is not going to conform to what you think, but we will conform to what God says. And for that, you have to know what it says. Read the Bible. Get biblical wisdom. And sure, we can look at the miracles that happened and know that they could happen again. Just remember, we want to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and what his crucifixion, what his being crucified on a cross, what it means to us. It's a message that is not just seeker-friendly. It is a message that warns against the wicked world, and we have to have a grasp of that. I hope you do. I hope we all do. But just remember, the Bible is true, and you want to see how to apply that, yes, in your life, yes, to speak to it. Yes, to preach to it. After all, that is what we are really to do, is know the Bible and speak about the biblical truth, which includes the love of God. Yes, certainly God wants us to be in heaven with him for eternity, but he also, well, the message is right there. God gave his life for us, and we want to give our life to God. As we go through life, denying the sin or repenting of the sin in our life, that's a part of Bible truth. Read it for yourself, though. Read it for yourself. One of the things the Bible talks about is the Antichrist, and especially in Revelation, the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast, remember in Daniel also, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Well, I think of Ron Wyeth, the American archaeologist, And this was back in 1982 when he made his discovery of the Ark of the Covenant. Yes, in Jerusalem, underground in Jerusalem, he testifies that he discovered the Ark of the Covenant underground in Jerusalem. And he found the blood on the mercy seat. Now, all that lines up with the gospel about what the purpose of the mercy seat was. And he tells about taking the blood off of the mercy seat and having it analyzed in a laboratory, a blood laboratory in Jerusalem. And they said, this cannot be. This cannot be real blood because there's only 24 chromosomes in it. And somehow this blood is alive. And this cannot be. This can't be, they told Ron Wyeth. But there it was, right in front of them. And he told them, this is the blood of your Savior. How else could it be alive after 2,000 years? Well, that's the kind of thing that we have. Ron Wyeth said that he prayed about this and asked why this was happening now. And he got an answer in his spirit that said, it is waiting for this time in the world to reveal the Ark of the Covenant, and that it would point to Jesus and God of the Bible. So, the Ark of the Covenant, you know, I encourage you to look at that for yourself too, because there are several people who talk about the Ark of the Covenant being discovered. If you listen to the testimonies, I expect that you will, just like I did, believe Ron Wyeth as he explained the situation of discovering the Ark of the Covenant and what it meant. So that is for you to do and to search out. Have a look at that. His testimony is available on YouTube, and that's something that you can easily look up. All these things are pretty easy, but it still takes time that we don't think we have. We don't think we have enough time to seek out a testimony. We don't think we have enough time to read the Bible. We don't think we have enough time to take away from the things that we want to do. And that is something which we have to realize. Our time really belongs to God. When you think about it, our time is not really our time. It is the time of Christ Jesus. We belong to Him. And therefore, our time belongs to Him. And I hope that you have an understanding of how that can be. Have an understanding. Have prayer. Have Bible reading. Look at these things, because this has to do with your salvation and your faith in God Jesus. Yes, your love of God Jesus. Yes, how Jesus loves you. Yes, the sacrifice on the cross and how that paid for your sins. That's something which we all have to come to terms with, realize the truth of it, and then realize how grateful we are for it. Grateful enough that we will sacrifice our life. And that might be in one instance where we suddenly say that, yes, I'm going to sacrifice my life for God, Jesus. Or we do that a little bit each year. We make the sacrifice as we put our time into the efforts of godly things. That's how I view the sacrifice, and how we can have our sacrifice to Christ, God, Jesus, by sacrificing our life a little bit at a time, sacrificing our money by putting it towards things that are not for us, but have things of heavenly and godly circumstance and reward. These are things that I think about, and of course you get to think about them too. Decide what it really is that's going to happen in your life. That you get to decide on and figure out what it is that you are willing to do to say, yes, Lord. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing as we go through, well, we go through life and we have challenges, lots of challenges. And there again, yes, Lord, what can I do to serve you? It's a matter of prayer. We get to have an understanding, I think, as we pray and as we seek God, and God responds in ways that we ultimately understand. So always, I hope you remember to have an orientation of serving God, whether it's in your day-to-day life and somebody you just run into, or whether it's to be in your church congregation, of the family of God, or however it is. Maybe it's through your financial support of a ministry or a church or something. I hope that you do something that is a benefit for the kingdom of God, and that you actually do it. Don't just think that you want to do it. Yes, pray about it, and yes, do it. Don't let it pass you by. Actually do something. And that's my idea for all of these things that we confront in life, whether it's the preparedness question and idea, or whether it's for how we interact with people. It's something we have to do something to show that our efforts actually have enough value to do them. Be active in your faith. And that faith is also how we do things. Always listen to any past broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. I appreciate your help to keep this broadcast on the air, and I want to thank you for everything that you do, and especially your prayers. Your prayers make a huge difference. I have seen that over and over again. So I urge you to pray for the people you love, the people you care about, and even the people you don't care about, because your prayer has a opportunity to change them and turn them into friends. And that's better than somebody who opposes you or Christianity. Well, again, I do pray for people. If you have a idea that you would like a godly prayer for, whether it's you or a person or a cause, yes, do write me, because I have things on my prayer list that I pray for regularly. And you can reach me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Thank you for listening. And may God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.